Blog Talk Radio.
Outreach Ministries on Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and the Holy Spirit is already here, and so are all of you. And we're so happy that you could be with us today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian internet church and a local church assembly. Excuse me. And we meet every Wednesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America, and on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. here at MiracleInternetChurch.com. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for all of you, for your participation, for your prayers, for your support, for your love. The Lord sees everything that you have done, what you desire to do but could not do, and all that you will do. Amen. So know that you have a reward in heaven and some on earth for all that you do to support this ministry in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. We want to thank the Lord for his goodness to us, and we are asking the Lord to increase our numbers. Amen? Yeah. We're asking the Lord to increase the number of people that come up to Miracle Internet Church and that attend the local church. We ask him to choose them. Amen? Because the word of God declares that the Lord added to the church as many as should be saved. Amen? So he knows who belongs here. And we're not out necessarily beating the bushes. We are inviting men, women, boys, and girls to join us. But we are depending on the Lord and not on ourselves. Amen? To bring this to pass in Jesus' name. For all of our first-time listeners, we celebrate Holy Communion at the beginning of our services. And so we're going to go before the Lord in prayer for a few minutes, and then we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's through the name of Jesus Christ, it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood on Calvary for the remission of all of our sins. We would certainly be in hell by now had you not done that. We want to thank you for an opportunity to be partakers of eternal life. We want to thank you for the forgiveness of every sin. We want to thank you for resurrection life. We want to thank you for this day and this opportunity to celebrate your communion. You told us, Lord, in your word to do this in remembrance of you. So we don't do this out of tradition. We do it, Lord, as you have requested. In honoring you, we do it in remembrance of you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we repent of every sin that we have committed. We repent of those things that we should have done, but we did not do. When it was time to speak out, we did not speak. When it was time to remember, we did not remember. When it was time to do that gesture of love, we were busy doing something else. So, Father, we repent of our sins of omission, the things we should have done but did not accomplish. We also repent of our sins of commission, things we said that we should not have said, things that we thought and believed that are wrong. We thank you, Lord, that you point them out to us and you correct our thinking. You correct our believing. You correct our hearts, and you correct our behavior. We welcome your corrections as the love that you pour out to us. You say that if we are not corrected, we're not yours. We want to be yours, Lord. So we gladly receive all correction in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that it brings us closer to the divine will and nature. Amen. And so we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus covering us. We thank you for the wall of fire with your glory in the midst surrounding us. We thank you for your warring, linking angels around us. And we thank you for the praising angels, Father. We thank you for the intercession of the Godhead. And we thank you for all the angels that have been appointed to us in Jesus' name. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he broke it
and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Partake of the cup. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Let everyone say, "Thank you, Lord." Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for every opportunity that we have to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to celebrate the blessing that Jesus was to us on Calvary. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to enter into prayer now. We ask that you pray in your prayer languages. If you don't have one, we ask that you say amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places, we want to thank you for spiritual warfare. We want to thank you for what you do during spiritual warfare. We want to thank you for what the angels do during spiritual warfare. And we want to thank you for leading us into it. We thank you that we don't do this by might nor by power, but by your spirit, Lord. And by your spirit, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, in the name of Jesus, from our position, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his angels, all evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, and orders. We cancel every demonic assignment and all satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And we come out of agreement with Satan, his kingdom, and all of his agents in Jesus' name. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks unto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporters, watchers, peepers, whispers, familiar demons, all electronic and technology demons, all Leviathan spirits, Kundalini spirits, water and marine spirits, sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drone, whoredom spirits, all the voices of the stranger, all remote viewing, all targeted radio frequency, all pulse weapons, all microwave attacks, debilitating sonic frequencies, hypnotics and trance devils, and all mystic rituals. We bind them all in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain them with eternal chains unto darkness. We bind all pain-afflicting spirits and all sleep deprivation spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid you to attack us in Jesus' name. We send your attacks back on you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all mystic rituals and their intent. We bind all microwave frequency weapons. When we overturn all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians, We bind all Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, African, Indian, European, Caribbean, Latin American, black magic, white magic, hoodoo, and voodoo in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid it to attack any of our membership in Jesus' name. All microwave attacks we send back on the heads of the devils in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we send every attack back to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils and all evil spirits that take animal form. And we bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that has been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies, his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus, along with all satanic ritual abuse and satanic worship. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits and spirits of infirmity, spirits of supplanting, the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts logic, human reasoning, and science against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of the generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirits and the works of the oppressors, the spirits of clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-K, out-of-body experiences, reincarnations, hauntings, poltergeists, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind all martial arts, horoscopes, yoga, transcendental meditation, make-believe and fantasy, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride and all his agents in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptation to sin. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Mammon, Atlas, Baphomet and his 72, Baselic, Moloch, Python, Neptune, Zeus, and Apollyon, and we chain them with eternal chains unto darkness. We send them into the spiritual cage and into judgment in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft back on their own heads, as well as their mind control in Jesus' name according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we have come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Everybody is to be in their prayer language. Everyone is to be in their prayer language. You need to come into agreement. Whenever there's a distraction, the enemy breaks our ranks. Everyone needs to be in their prayer language. Lord, we have come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We cut ourselves free, Lord, from all ungodly silver cords, ley lines, garlands, chains, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, pledges, vows, pacts, leagues, and all other forms of agreement with the demonic realm. We break down the walls against and protection of all witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, shamans, and sorcerers in Jesus' name. We break the power of all curses, hexes, vexes, spells, charms, and fetishes, all psychic warfare, all voodoo and magic and sorcery, death, bewitchments, and jinxes, all mind control in Jesus' name. All torment, pain, and sickness we bind in the name of Jesus Christ. All ungodly blessings, candle burning and incense, hoodoo, crystals, and root works, tribal rituals and sin, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take the blood of Jesus and we break the power of all the witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, sorcerers, Wiccans, pagans, and any other source and all of their rituals off of us. With the blood of Jesus, we erase all evil minds on any parts of our body, our soul, our will, and our emotions, and we pull out every fiery dart in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, and sorcery, we bind your works in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and we give you praise, for you are truly our God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for true Christians everywhere. We ask, Father, that you release your word of truth through your anointed vessel of choice. Father, cause your people to hear your truth and the change and change their direction to follow you and not man in Jesus' name. Father, the word of God declares in Proverbs 21:30 that there is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the saints who have much delusion, make-believe, and fantasy in their lives. We ask you, Father, for a royal flush for the body of Christ. We pray for saints who worry, fret, and are plagued with various anxieties. May they learn to execute effectively 2 Corinthians 10:5 and Philippians 4:8. Father, we pray for saints who curse themselves and their families through their own words and set in motion unlawful things. We ask you, Father, to bring correction in their lives and teach them how to speak the word of God. Father, we pray for the saints to access the power that is released in the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray for all the saints who have special challenges this week, that they will overcome through Jesus Christ our Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we bind all vexation of spirit and soul and mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think some people don't quite understand that when we go into warfare, we're either united or we will be defeated. We're either going to be united in Christ. Our minds are going to be focused on Jesus Christ. We're going to be fully into warfare or we will be defeated. There is no other option. You're either all in or you're out. So everyone needs to make up their mind. When I begin the opening prayers, either you're all in or you're on out. You can't go do other things, be preoccupied with other things. You have to be fully into the warfare. Some of you are getting attacks that you should not get because you don't do that. Some of you are experiencing attacks that you should not receive because you're distracted when we're doing the warfare. So, I would ask you, when we begin to do the warfare, this is an extremely, extremely important time of the service. You are to give your full, undivided attention to the warfare and nothing else. You can't be doing this or doing that or attending to this or attending to that. It's either all warfare or nothing, because you will receive the corresponding retaliation of the enemy if you're not in unity. The commanded blessing comes when we are in 100% unity, not 99.5%. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And we all need the commanded blessing of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, saints, the Lord has been helping us to grow and to understand what he expects of us, because he has a lot more for us, especially in this congregation. We are different from other congregations because we do spiritual warfare on another level, and we do deliverance and miracles and healings. And we don't have the popular gospel. We have the gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the anointing in this ministry is but one proof that that's exactly what we do. We have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't have the seeker-friendly gospel. And we don't have the fluff gospel. And we don't have the prosperity by just saying so gospel. We don't have the covetous gospel. We don't have the flesh gospel. We have the truth. And we must learn, and others must learn, to come to appreciate God's truth. The Bible said the day will come when they will not be able to receive sound teaching, sound doctrine. That day is here. Many people don't want to know the truth. Why? Because they have to deal with a real God, not a fairy tale one that they cooked up in their imagination somewhere. We don't have the goose pimple God. We have the one that meets you in the emergency room. We have the one that raises you off the deathbed. We have the one that makes you to walk when before you were crippled. That's the God we have. We have the one that saves souls, any soul. We have the God that will bring you out of witchcraft. We don't have the God that stands there and does for offering. So this ministry deserves the respect and the honor from the congregation that the Lord Jesus Christ expects, and nothing less. Amen? You see, you get sick in this ministry, there's somebody to tell the devil where to go. You're not just there depending on the doctors and, oh, Jesus, please remember me. No, there's more to it than that. So since this is not the get-by gospel, everyone should give it their full attention and honor and respect. Because in doing so, we honor and respect the Lord who bled and died for it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And I would hope that everyone can understand that. Amen? Today, we're going to talk about honor him. Honor him. And we're going to begin in a scripture about someone who did not do that. We're going to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we're going to begin in verse 1. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, saints, we show the Lord how much we appreciate him through many ways. And one of them is our attendance to church. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. And even more so when we see that day approaching. Well, that day is approaching more and more. Amen? We know this is vacation time. We're not arguing about your vacation. Everybody can have a vacation. The Bible says we're supposed to have a vacation, in fact. Amen? But we should be serious about coming to church. We should be serious about preparing our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our God is not just any other person. He is God. And when we come before him, when we bring ourselves to the house of God, whether it's in front of your computer, on your phone, or wherever you may be, we need to come with our hearts and our minds ready to honor him, ready to give him the praise and the glory that is due his name. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, it reads, Samuel, who was a prophet and a godly prophet, also said unto Saul, who was the king at that time over Israel, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Listen with the intent to obey the voice of the words of the Lord. That means you have to not only hear God, you have to pay attention, and you have to give your utmost to do what he says to do. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of war, the commander-in-chief of the armies of God. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. You see, Amalek had done something most ugly to Israel when they were passing through the wilderness, but God never forgot it. So if you think your enemies do things to you that God does not take note of, you are sadly mistaken. He most certainly does. How he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. So now God is going to repay Amalek for what they did to Israel because he took it personal, you see. The Bible says, when you do it unto them, to the least of them, you've done it unto me. So when they do it unto us, they do it to Jesus, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, and the Godhead takes it personally. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, toddlers, nursing babies, kill them, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Don't even leave the ass behind. Do them all. Kill every single thing. And that's exactly what God meant for him to do. Verse 7, and Saul smote the Amalekites, and he tells him how far that is over against Egypt, and he took, verse 8, Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Well, we just read that he said, kill everybody, and utterly destroy all the people with the edge of the sword. So he killed the people, but he kept the king. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refused, that they utterly destroyed. Now, there isn't but one way to look at this. That's rebellion and defying the living God. That's straight defiance of the living God. He told him to kill everything. He didn't. He did it his way, not God's way. Now, saints, we've talked about this before. And it seems, as the Lord tells me, that there are some of us that haven't quite caught on. But it is my hope and prayer today that we will all get it today. Verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, now that's not the truth. He lied. And he lied to the prophet of God. He He was totally deceived. I wonder why. And Samuel says, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul says, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now the Lord did not want anything from the Amalekites offered to him as a sacrifice. It was not acceptable. They already had the example of Cain and Abel bringing an offering that was not acceptable to the Lord. And that didn't turn out too well, now did it? So now why would he do it again? Verse 17, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalek. You see, he still doesn't see that he's wrong. He's as wrong as he can be, and he still thinks he did right. This is a dangerous position to be in. It's extremely dangerous. And there are people in the body of Christ today that have this same attitude. Oh, yes, I've done everything God said to do, and you're looking at them, and the Holy Spirit is not in agreement. But the people took of the spoil. Well, wasn't he in charge of the people? Wasn't he the leader? The people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen and the chief of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. The people took the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice. So now it's the people's fault. He's not going to share in the responsibility for it. He's going to shirk that responsibility before the Lord. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You see, if you go back to Genesis and you go through the first five books of the Bible, you will see how many times the Lord says for us to obey the voice of the Lord, to obey the voice of the Lord, to obey the voice of the Lord. It's over and over and over again. His sheep hear his voice, and a stranger they won't follow because they don't know the voice of the stranger. It is imperative, church, that we learn to listen to and to fully obey the voice of the Lord when he speaks to us. You say, well, he doesn't speak to me like you're talking to me now. No, but you've got scriptures from Genesis to the end of the Revelation, and he speaks through all of them, everyone. Not to mention, if you're actually a Christian and his spirit is in you, you have an unction from the Holy One. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you do know, the Bible says. So, God isn't half as moved by these offerings and sacrifices, these things that, and he actually did tell you to do, when you're not obeying the voice of the Lord. Well, I pay my tithes, and I do this, and I do that, but are you listening to his voice and obeying him? Behold, it is. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken to listen with the intent to obey than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, the penalty for witchcraft is death. The penalty for witchcraft is death. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Well, today, saints, we're going to talk about honoring God. It's important to honor him. It's extremely important to honor him. I don't think I'll ever be able to stress how important it really is. All of us want to go to heaven. All of us want to be with the saints in the great by and by. But God wants some honor from us here on earth. Amen? In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 29. John, chapter 8, verse 29. The Lord Jesus was speaking. And he said, for I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. Jesus Christ tells us in a few words how to honor the Father in heaven. For I do always those things that please him. He didn't say sometimes or when I think about it. He said always. In other words, consistently the same. Never a time when this is not the case. In this case, saints, Jesus Christ is our example. Notice that Jesus did not say that he pleased himself at all. No, he didn't say that. He said those things that please him, speaking of his Father in heaven. So we can see that we have more room to grow than we thought. There is a key to be found in John 8, 28. In John 8, 28. He says, and that I do nothing of myself. That I do nothing of myself. Some of us believe that we are more spiritually advanced than we are. This is a warning to those of you who attempt to pray our opening spiritual warfare prayer yourself, or you attempt to bind Satan yourself, or a number of other things that you attempt in the global prayer room that are actually out of your league. Stay in your lane, lest you experience the reprisal from those entities in your boasting. You know, this does not apply to every single one. In fact, it only applies to a very small few. So, saints, ask the Lord to see if this applies to you. Ask him if this correction applies to you. Amen? You see, Jimmy Swaggart used to call Satan a derogatory name. And those of you who know about that story can see how that ended. Honor means more than high regard and respect. It includes the submission of thought and behavior that is due that rank and position. Repeat after Pastor. My thoughts must become agreeable to God. Let's try that again. My thoughts must become agreeable to God. The scriptures teach that honor should be paid. In other words, you owe honor, so pay it. We owe it to God, to parents, to rulers, to heads of state, to all persons who are in authority, judges, military, law enforcement, school officials. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Elders in the church, and especially those who teach you the word of God, are worthy of double honor. Some of us do this, and others of us do not. Let the Lord be the judge. Honor, much respect, is owed to God. We owe it to him. God has a right to our respect. There should be much praise that we give to our God because of who he is. We should display a courteous regard for his superiority. Thereby, we should yield and submit to his claim, what he said, and his wishes. We should live out a deep respect for him that is anchored in love. We should not allow ourselves to imagine a God that is not the true and living God. No room at all for the God of our understanding. Any God, whether of our own imagination or someone else's, is an idol and not the truth at all. You cannot decide on your own and for yourself who God is. He said, I am that I am. He is to us who the Lord Jesus has revealed to us, even through the scriptures. So if you have a God that you think is the real God that does not line up with every scripture in the Bible, something's wrong with your God. You see, some people have a God who won't tell them how bad off they are. They have a God that won't tell them that they're a liar. They won't tell them that they have a God that can't tell them that fornication is a sin. They have a God that says, you can't tell me that I'm stealing because I'm not. I'm just borrowing it and never return. They don't have a God that can tell them about the matters of their everyday life. You're being selfish with your family members. They don't have the God that can speak to that. You don't spend enough time in the scriptures, in my word. They don't have a God that can tell them that. They have some pie in the sky God who, no matter what they do and how they live, is just going to automatically accept them into heaven because they walked in a church one day, and when all the other kids went down, they went down. Well, they need to straighten up because that's not the real God. See, you can't take pieces of scripture and put them together and say, well, this is God. No, it's all of it, every bit of it. He tells us in the word not to add to and not to take away from his word. It's the revelation to us of himself. Jesus Christ personified that when he came to earth. So we can't make him into a God that he's not. And some people have a tendency to want to tweak God to suit themselves, but you can't tweak him. You can't say, I like this much, but I don't like that part, but I'll take these parts. He's not the cafeteria plan. You don't go through and pick and choose the parts of God you want to adhere to, and then you don't have to do the others. It doesn't work that way. It's all or nothing. In the Bible, he killed a lot of people. There are people who are offended because of that. But you see, he's the one who makes alive and takes life away. That's who he is. You can't change him and make him someone else. There's no point in apologizing to your buddies and your friends because God killed people in the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament, too. He dropped Ananias and Sapphira right on the floor in church. He has the power of life and death. And it doesn't matter what CNN thinks or MSNBC or anyone else thinks. He is God Almighty. And beside him, there is none other. He is not trying to make you happy. He's trying to fit you for heaven. And that is not the same thing. Amen. So you see, saints, you can't create your own God. There's already a God. You need to conform to him. So you see, I once heard Charles Stanley preach that God doesn't care about your socks. Of course, he would say that on a day when I'm trying to get ready for church. I just happened to have had him on. This was decades ago. Well, that bothered me because the scripture says in Luke 12:7 that even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And I thought, as I was trying to find my shoes, well, if Jesus thinks it's important enough that every single hair on my head is numbered, he has a number for every hair, surely he cares about my socks. How can he not? I only need two of them. I got a whole lot more hair. So, if parents care, then how much more my Heavenly Father? He cares about every single aspect of our lives. There isn't anything he doesn't care about. So don't you let somebody tell you that there's something about your life that God doesn't care about. That's just not the truth. It's not. It doesn't line up with the scriptures, and it's not the truth. It doesn't matter who says it. Amen? It does not matter who says it. The Bible says, and that's the way it goes. So, how do we display our honor for God? Well, in Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. We have studied the word, and we know that Jesus Christ has a name above every name. And when he came to earth, his Father gave him his name. He did everything that he did in the name of his Father. And we do what we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. It says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So here, this is one of the ways in which we honor him. We give him the glory that is due his name. We worship him in holiness. What does holiness mean? Holiness means that the character, attributes, and nature of our God is coming through us. It's his, and it's being reflected in our lives. Someone told me once that they couldn't be holier than thou. And so I replied to that person, just holy, regular holy. I don't think they quite understood what holiness really is. But that's what it is. The character and nature of God Almighty emanates through us and out to others. That's holiness. It's not whether or not you drink Coca-Cola or if you have a beehive of hair on your head or how long your dress is, even though there's a difference between a dress and a shirt. Amen? And some people need to learn the difference. Amen? We don't dress in an unbecoming fashion. Nothing about us should tempt anyone to worship the body. People should not be so allured to us because of how we attire ourselves that they want to worship the creature instead of the creator. Amen? That's a good guideline. If you're wearing something so tight that people know everything about you that the doctor knew when he took you out of your mother, something's wrong. Something's extremely wrong. Praise the Lord. Psalm 71, verse 8. Psalm 71, verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Did it say just after I got up and had my cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Or does it say, let my mouth, I allow my mouth to be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day? So that pretty much wipes out all our murmuring and complaining that we talked about not too long ago. And we're working on that, aren't we? We're doing better. We're catching ourselves as we go into that murmuring and complaining thing. And we're going, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Let me get it right. Right there. Good. Keep practicing it. It'll get to the point that the murmuring and complaining will stop coming out of our mouths when we're tired and annoyed. Amen?
Amen?
We all have to work on it. We all have a flesh, and it's something we practice. We work on it. And the more we do, the better we get. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. There's grace for learning. We learn obedience, just like Jesus did. In Psalm 145, verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and thy wondrous works. I'm going to talk about everything you've created and everything you've done. That's a lot. That's a lot to talk about, especially when you're killing gnats. He made them too. Yes, he made gnats. And you said, why? Well, the frogs seem to like them. I can't say why else they would be here. But they're here for a purpose, and he decided that they should be here. In Malachi, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn there. And I want you to listen. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear or reverence, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? You see, the Lord was getting after these people because they were despising his name. They weren't treating him properly. There's a right way to treat God. They were offering polluted sacrifices on the altar. And then after they'd done that, they stand back and say, well, how is it we polluted the altar? What could we have done? You know, just like Saul did, same attitude. And God's saying, you're being contemptible to me. And he told them, because you offer the blind for a sacrifice. Isn't that wrong? That's not what I told you to do. Just like Cain and Abel, same situation basically. You bring the lame and the sick. Isn't that evil? Try that with one of your officials. Take something that's not quite right to him. Take it to him and see if he takes it. If the natural man won't take it, why should God accept it? And sometimes our behavior is the offering that we bring. The words of our mouth are the offering. It's the fruit of our lips that we bring. And it's many times, it's not acceptable to God. It wouldn't be acceptable to another person. Why should God take it? We should think about that. We should all think about it. It's important. We have thoughts in our mind that are not pleasing to the Lord, but we're a living sacrifice. We're supposed to be holy and acceptable to the Lord. But we have elements about us that are not pleasing to him. We can't bring him just any sacrifice. You see? Jesus lived a holy life. He was a living sacrifice. He's our example. We're supposed to be a living sacrifice. So some of this stuff in our hearts, in our minds, comes out of our mouths, out of our behavior, is one of those lame sacrifices that we bring that are not acceptable to our God, and he asks us to get it cleaned up. Bring to him the sacrifice of love and gratitude and honor, and we should do it consistently. Amen? You know, when you get in a bad mood, that's not the sacrifice he desires. We all do it. We're human. This is where we are. But you know, we have the opportunity to change, don't we? I think we need to take more advantage of that opportunity. Amen? He says, should I accept this of your hand? Should he? Well, I think we know the answer to that. I think we know the answer to that. In the book of Hosea, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read certain parts of it to you. Hosea had a wife, and her name was Gomer. And he told him, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So that's what he did. I'm sure he didn't want to, but he did. He obeyed God. You see, saints, at that time, Israel was acting like a whore. She would go be with the Lord, and then she would stray and go to all these others she had. And she'd worship the god of whatever nation or group she happened to be flirting with at the time. And God had had enough of that. And he just called Israel out on it. And so he made his prophet Hosea a living example to them so they could see how they were treating him. They were dishonoring him. So he told Hosea, go take you a whore for a wife so I can show my people how they're treating me. They're with me 1 minute, and then when it suits them, they're out with everything else they can find. And then when it doesn't go well with them, then they want to come back to me. And then the cycle repeats itself over and over and over again. And God said, enough of that. Now, saints, we need to look in the mirror at our own lives and say, Lord, do I go in and out on you like that? Do I do that? Am I here with you one moment, and then when it suits me, I'm with this one and that one and this one and that one and this one? You know, promiscuity is whoredom. And then after I get tired of that, or they get sick of me, because now that I've been with you, Lord, I really don't blend in with them anymore. Then I'm back going to church, and I'm hallelujahing with dirty hands. Do I do that, Lord? I need you to talk to me. Speak to me, Lord. You are the spirit of truth, and you won't lie to me. Jesus says to us, amen, in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? you know, you want to do what I say 1 minute, but just as soon as I tell you something you don't want to hear, you go off and it's something else that keeps you entertained and busy and your mind occupied. Something else has your attention. God is saying that our offerings ought to be connected to our hearts. How we honor others should be directly connected to our respect for our God. Our service to the church should be Godward, not making a pitch for what we might benefit from that service, not even financially. God's people mingle with the unsaved or the should-be saved of our society and pick up their evil ways. Well, that's the truth. When you go out, that is who you associate with. So we can see that our honor of God is displayed in our worship, in our praise of him, in the words of our mouth, from our hearts in obedience to his laws, commandments, character, and nature. God is not receptive of our broken promises. When we don't keep our word, when we promise to but never do, this does not bring honor to him. Saints, it is our responsibility as the body of Christ to honor the head of the body, the Lord Jesus. We honor him by doing as he did. He said that always did those things which please his Father. Well, half-hearted compliance instead of full-on heart obedience is not the way to honor him. If your mother says, I need you to do thus and so, and then begrudgingly you drag to go do it, that's not full-on obedience. It's not, and it's not acceptable before the throne of God. Amen? Amen. It's just the truth. It's the truth. It is the truth. We need to look at our own lives and make corrections. We need to examine our own fleshly attitudes and continue the process of true repentance. Process, that's right. True repentance is not just, oh, God, I'm sorry for my sin, and then 5 minutes later you write back at. That's not true repentance. True repentance has a process. There's conviction. There's some brokenness. There's some sorrow. There's some grief over having offended God and sin. There's a lot of elements to true repentance. There's some serious godly sorrow that goes into repentance. There's the confession of the lips. There's the changing of the heart and the mind, the attitudes, and the feelings even. There's a change. There's a process to repentance. There's a process that leads us into the land of obedience. And we have to go all the way. We can't just give him, okay, I'm sorry about that, and pick you right off the, no, that's not the process. This is not microwavable. God does not do it that way. And we shouldn't think that it's that way. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21, yes, we have to continue the process of true repentance. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You see, the same circumstances came to the one who did what Jesus said and to the one who didn't. And they had different outcomes. Same circumstances, different outcomes. Amen? Amen. That's the way it is. That's what the Lord's bringing us to. We must learn to obey in all things just as Jesus did. In Deuteronomy 28:2, just make a note of it, Deuteronomy 28:2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. He didn't say you had to chase them down. He said they would come on you and overtake you if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Wow! If you listen to the Lord with full intent to obey him and do what he says, the blessings come on you and they take you over. Amen? That's what he says. And God can't lie. He cannot lie. I'm missing a scripture, Holy Spirit. Let me go find my scripture. Amen. That's what you were trying to show me. All right. Okay, where is it? Ah, here it is. You don't have to turn there. It's in Deuteronomy 5. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. I think that's pretty clear. I think that's pretty clear. God is very specific about things. He's not changing his mind. It's the same for us as it was for the Hebrew children. We have to learn obedience, and we have to grow in it. It's not a one-time lesson. It's a continual lesson throughout our lives, learning to obey the Lord. It's a learning. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. You see, every age is obedience is required. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He stayed in his lane. How beautiful. How beautiful. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I'm turning right along with you. Revelation's at the back, so it's easy to find. Amen. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I'm going to start at verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. For his pleasure we were created. For his pleasure, not our own. Amen? His pleasure, not our own. Let's see here. I'll turn pages. You just take notes. That makes it easy for you. I don't mind. I'm going to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, oops, there we go, chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen? Amen. God's going to do that. Be assured that he's going to do it. He's not going to forget about it. No, he's going to do it. John chapter 2, verse 5. Now, this is some strong advice from his mother Mary, and everyone should take this advice. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. It didn't say argue with him for 3 days about how hard it's going to be. It said do it. Amen? Why should you do it now? You're this age and you've lived up to, why me? Why not? Just forget all that and just do it, you see? That's what humility does. Luke chapter 17, verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So obedience is our duty to do. Yes, it is. Saints, there are material blessings that result from consistent obedience to the Lord out of a pure heart. There are material blessings. Yes, there are spiritual ones, but there are also material ones. In Job 36:11, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. If they obey and serve him, there are days of prosperity and years of pleasure. God can't lie. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But you see, you have to meet the prerequisite. You have to first be willing and then obedient. Amen? And it doesn't work that way in reverse. He isn't going to come and give it all to you and then say, now. No. The willing and the obedient comes first. Jeremiah 38:20. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well with thee, and thy soul shall live. Mm-hmm. We're going to need this real soon. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, did what? Obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he was going. He just got going. You see, some people, they want all the details. They want it all the details. Give me the details, and then I'll get up and do it. Well, that's not the way God works. When he says start walking, it's time to move. If you don't have your shoes on, get them. So, a brother in this ministry, by the way, gave testimony that he received a raise when he finally completed his obedience in the tithe. You see, it's the completion of obedience. We receive protection when we obey the Lord. In Leviticus 26:6, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. My, God's going to protect us when we obey. Yes. Exodus 23:22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversary. So the prerequisite is obeying his voice, doing everything that he said. That's how that works. Leviticus 25:18. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land in safety. You see, if they're suddenly doing things they shouldn't be doing, before you immediately jump on the devil, ask the Lord if you did something to open the door. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you did, not realizing. Quite often, the Lord will speak to the pastor. And pastor will give counsel. Sister Mabel, you should really see an MD to clarify your situation. Well, because Sister Mabel doesn't want to do that, she won't. But it is the Lord's counsel that she rejected. Have you done that? You see, many times, there is a spiritual aspect to our obedience as well as a natural aspect. Full obedience requires both. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. For they watch for your soul as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. So when pastor says, an assistant pastor says, the Holy Spirit's saying we need to get to church on time, he's ready to move. We need to listen. We need to obey. Amen? Amen. It's a good word. Amen. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their lifestyle. Follow them. You forever see them praying? You forever see them fasting? Hello? Get the hint? Amen? Even in the life of Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews 5, beginning with verse 7. Hebrews 5, beginning with verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, he reverenced his father. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus had to learn obedience as a human.
and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Not to everybody. Unto all them that obey him. That's how that works. Jesus said in John 5, verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. Further down, he says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. I suppose if Jesus is going to be our example, we need to do what Jesus did. John 14, 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. How is it that the world knows that I love the Father? The Father told me something to do and I did it. Same for us, no different. We must follow Jesus' example. In Matthew 11, 27, Matthew 11, 27, Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen? You know, Jesus gives us some very good counsel. We really need to take it. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So he says, correction must come in order for you to have wisdom. If I leave you to yourself, then you won't act like me. You won't grow up to be like me. I have to correct you so that you'll grow up like me. So, saints, we must allow the Father to have it his way in our lives, not how we thought it should be. Some of us are offended because our lives are not shaping up as we had hoped, but our lives as saints are hid in God in Christ Jesus. Let God bring his will forth, not yours. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Submitting ourselves to God. That's what we must do. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay. Thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. We are the work of thy hand. So how is it when the potter or the sculptor is trying to make something go a certain way and it just won't do? He smacks it back down, wets it up, and starts again. Better to yield. Oh, it's better to yield. Say amen. I know, Pastor. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy,
acceptable unto God. Unclean, unholy is not acceptable unto God. So that means you can't do everything the culture does. No, you can't go out there with the culture and worship their pagan God. I don't care what they do on Facebook. You can't do it too. Matthew 26:39. Jesus fell on his face, praying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this." But that's not what he was saying. He was saying, as a human, I don't want to die. See, he had a human part, just like we have. And it wasn't always pleasant to be Jesus Christ. Just like it isn't always pleasant to be you. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Never mind me. I'm decreasing, you're increasing. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary again. Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." God had just put her on the hot seat and said, "This is what I'm going to do." And she went, "How can I do that? I'll explain it to you. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he'll pass over you, and it'll be just like that." All right? Even though she didn't fully understand all this, she's just a young lady. She didn't have full understanding of how that was going to pivot her entire life. But what did she say? "Be it unto me according to thy word." That's humility. That's humility. Saints, our responses to our God cannot be rote or mechanical, but instead rising from a heart of love and gratitude to our Lord. We need the spirit of obedience that Jesus Christ displayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Despite the obvious outcome, which was his death on the cross, Jesus went out of the garden with a faith in God and a loyalty to his will that neither nails nor spears nor a cross stake in the ground that he made could shake. He honored his Father with full submission to his will and total obedience. Saints, let's follow Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. Let's do what Jesus did, or else we won't be able to go to the heaven the way Jesus did. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want to have the right to the tree of life. We want to enter in to the gates of the city. So let us grow in obedience and honor to him. Amen. Rise to the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And the church said, amen. Amen. I want to remind you, saints, that we have a fast beginning at 7 p.m. this evening, your time zone, whatever that is. And it will end on tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., and it's just water. It's not hard to remember what we must intake. It's just water. Amen? Amen. So the Lord will help us. I encourage you, if you have the opportunity during that time, to recast this message and to take your time and to allow it to soak in. Because the Lord actually said quite a bit. Amen? Amen. Pastor loves you. And I pray. Ooh, technical difficulty. I pray that you have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.